Yes, in the words of our producer, greetings, Earthlings, and hello again for another fine Wednesday edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour and a hearty Omaha from me to you. I'm Logan Loganity Moores, or whatever's left of him, and luckily, I don't do it alone. Just want to remind you, this is episode 38, titled Slumming It in Sin City. Luckily, we're not slumming it on this show. We got a great cast of characters to come on in for the next hour and help me do this bad boy, this mamma jamma, if you will. So let's bring them in for the evening. Of course, let's start with our senior open wheel guru, a man freshly married in the nicest polo I've seen today. And as always, he's got perfectly coiffed hair and a mighty fine beard. Colin Best, come on in here.
Hey guys, we had a little trouble, difficulties. My computer just decided just to die. So now I'm on my phone, trying to get back up on the computer. We're live, folks. This is what happens when we're live. So yeah. We get technical difficulties and all this jazz. It's good. So far, fun show. So far.
We're live, pal.
We're live.
Let's bring in our producer, the better half of me, the woman that's going to keep us going. Really, really strong. Producer Peggy, how are you? Yeah.
I'm malfunctioning. I have had a very busy day. I barely made it to set the link at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I'm here.
All right. Well, we already got a couple of comments. Freddie said Vegas was an RA Cup race. It was kind of boring, and Larson kicking ass all race, but the truck race was definitely interesting. Xfinity was not bad. Hoping Phoenix is a good weekend. Look, Freddie, we'll get into it. We'll get into it for sure. I thought there's a little bit of, hey, there he is.
Look at that.
AEW was a good show this past weekend. We don't really talk a whole lot of wrestling on this NASCAR-based show. By God, we are wrestling fans here, tried and true and proud and powerful, if you will.
Yeah, we're not suspended like Sammy Guevara over here.
No, we would never. We would never. Just no protocol. Actually, Freddie, let's be honest. We too are believers in the forgiveness permission theory. Anywho, let's talk about Las Vegas. So that means we got to do our weekend review. All right, Colin, let's start it out. Raja Carruth gets a historic win Friday night. Just the third African-American-born driver to win a NASCAR-sanctioned series event. Pretty darn cool, pretty darn special. Obviously, he's on that Hendrick.com car Chevrolet with Spire Motorsports, but Mr. H certainly has a lot to do with it. Let's talk some about the history, just in terms of what this means for the sport. Roger Carruth getting a dub. What'd you think of it?
I thought it was great. I certainly think to me that Rajah Carruth is one of these guys who we should be looking out for in the next couple of years for like a Carson Hocevar or a Zane Smith who have now made their way up to the Cup Series. And it seems like if we've seen anything with the NASCAR developmental ladder, that you will just bypass Xfinity if you do well enough in trucks. They race about the same. So I wouldn't be surprised if Rajah Carruth makes his way into the NASCAR Cup Series eventually in the next couple of years. But this isn't the first time he'll be in victory lane this season. I guarantee it. I think he has the talent. Certainly, his freshman year in the NASCAR Truck Series was sort of an interesting ordeal last year. Now into his sophomore season in the NASCAR Truck Series, I think the sky's the limit for him. And I certainly think after this weekend, considering that we'll be back at Las Vegas Motor Speedway later in the fall, I do believe that Rajah Carruth probably now is sort of an early threat to win the 2024 NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series Championship. So it was a great day for the sport. He won from pole. He only led 37 laps. He wasn't a dominating race by any stretch of the means for Rajah, but he led the laps that counted and obviously led to him in victory lane. So cheers to Rajah Carruth. Hopefully many more wins are in your future, my friend.
Well, you know what you're saying. The only lap of that is just for leaving that happened. So, good for Rajah. No, it's a historic win, right? I don't want to overhype. I don't want to overhype it. But like, you know, African Americans having success in NASCAR is so rare. Frankly, just having them in NASCAR is so rare. So obviously, there hasn't been a ton of opportunity. We would be remiss if we didn't mention our good friend Bill Lester. He's been on several incarnations in this show over the years. Really
cool to see him get a dub, and I look forward to the day in NASCAR. And this isn't to dismiss anyone's story or background, but I look forward to the day where a driver of color, a minority of any kind, winning is not a story about them being a minority or a color of any kind. I look forward to winning at the regular occurrence, and hopefully Rajah Carruth and Bubba Wallace can help make that happen, and hopefully we got people coming up in the future to help make that happen as well. Great for Rajah. I got to tell you, I think he's got the inside track to drive for Mr. H in the next few years. I really do. Mr. H has clearly taken a serious interest in his career. If there is anyone kind of on the quote unquote bubble at Hendrick, not that anyone really is, but Alex Bowman is in the midst of a pretty big winless streak. Is it a stretch? I know this is going way down the line here, Colin, but is it a stretch that maybe in a year or two, if Bowman doesn't kind of find success again, that maybe Rajah might be the guy to replace him in a season or two?
I don't think it's out of a stretch at all. I think if we look at Alec Bowman's career, and I think he's a talented race car driver by means. He has 4 Cup Series wins in his career. I kind of agree with Kyle Busch, and you're going to hate me for saying it, but he sort of backdoored his way into most of three or four of those wins. And to be honest with you, he's the weakest of the four at Hendrick Motorsports right now. Not taking away from his talent, it's just from what we've seen on track from him. That 48 should be contending for wins. And actually, I think that's a top 5 car, no matter who's in it. I think that car is talented. The car is good enough with the great equipment to get inside the top 5 any time of the week. And Alex Bowman certainly hasn't been doing those type of performances as of late. So for me, I wouldn't be surprised if Alex Bowman is on the hot seat at the end of this year. If Mr. H thinks that if Rajah keeps winning at the Truck Series and thinks he wants to take a shot on him, it wouldn't surprise me if Rajah is in the 48 next year. But the days are, unless Alex Bowman performs, the days are numbered for him.
And of course, we just left the track that he's pretty good at. 2 years ago, it's easy to forget, 2 years ago, he won the Pennzoil 400 in 2022 in Vegas. Yeah. So it has been a while, but it also hasn't been a lifetime, if that makes sense. It's just strange how his circumstances have and his fortunes have changed. And I wonder a little bit. We have to remember he's had some injury history, concussions, and, of course, his broken back last year due to the incident with the racing outside of NASCAR. Just interesting to see how it was not that long ago that people like me were saying this is the best Ford Hendrick of all time. in terms of a complete team. I know that none of these drivers' resume compared to Jimmy Johnson or Jeff Gordon. But as a foursome, I don't know if it gets better as far as a complete team goes. And now it feels like Alex Bowman, not, you know, again, nothing written in stone by any stretch, but certainly a little uncertainty. Freddie says, wouldn't surprise me if the 71 truck gets a 17 car for Hendrick next year. That's a point that might be where it heads, especially if Raja has, if this is the first of many wins, I could definitely see that, Freddie. I definitely could. All right, speaking of Xfinity, let's move it along. John Hunter Nemechek got it done in the Xfinity Series for Joe Gibbs Racing. He's splitting that ride. Of course, you wouldn't know he's splitting that ride so far. He's been in the first three. But he's not running that full-time this year. Obviously, you're not able to as a Cup Series driver, though I believe the rule of five doesn't apply until it's your third year, believe it or not, in the Cup Series. It's an odd paradox. But John Hunter gets a win for Joe Gibbs. Eric Almirola was back on the track this weekend. He'll be back on the track again this upcoming weekend in Phoenix. What do you think of John Hunter kind of dominating, getting it done? You know, he again proves why, you know, he deserves the shot at Legacy Motor Club, in my view. What do you think of the race?
I thought it was pretty underwhelming, considering the Xfinity Series usually puts on some of the best racing that we see on a week-to-week basis. And the Xfinity race, to me, was just a giant stinker from start to finish. Certainly, John Hunter, Nemechek, I think being in the race didn't help that it was a stinker. Obviously, you had Chandler Smith running up front. He was competing towards the end of Stage 1. Austin Hill was up there as well. So you got your Xfinity regulars that were fighting for the win, but John Hunter Nemechek pulled it out. I mean, it was a sort of mediocre race. There wasn't really anything to write home about in this race. Good for John Hunter Nemechek getting a win. Good for Joe Gibbs Racing getting a win. But let's get on to Phoenix, where I think we might actually see a more entertaining race this weekend.
We shall see. Of course, it's a big weekend, and of course, we'll talk about that much more in just a moment. It's a big weekend in Cup, folks. Remember, this is where the championship is now. And so that means that if you have any aspirations of getting to the final four, and everybody still at this point is good, unless you're severely underfunded, then this is a huge weekend to learn and get things in the, you know, the notebook and get things figured out. So it's a big weekend. This minor West Coast swing, this truncated West Coast swing without Auto Club, is still a big couple of weeks, because we go back to Vegas in the playoffs. And, of course, Phoenix is the championship finale. So very big for all three series in every way, shape, fashion, or form. All right, let's move on to the Cup race. Kyle Larson dominated. Every now and again, Kyle Larson, you're not sure if Kyle Larson drives the 5 in 2024 or the 43 in 1974. Because sometimes he just comes out and there are few better that know how to stink up a show in modern history than Kyle Larson. You just kind of marvel at it. He is arguably the only other person in the conversation would be Kyle Busch. Must be something in that Kyle name. He's arguably the most talented guy in the field, and I think it shows. He just absolutely owned this race. Now, Tyler Reddick did make a run there at the end. It made it a little interesting. It gave us something to talk about, something to think about. But it was the Kyle Larson show. What were your thoughts, Kyle?
Yeah, I kind of wish Adam was here, because I'd be taking a shot at Martin Truex Jr., because Kyle Larson has quickly entered this conversation of who wins in the most dominating, boring fashion other than Martin Truex Jr., and it's now Kyle Larson. I mean, I thought towards the end of the race it was an okay race between Reddick and Kyle Larson. I really think the story is if 2311's pit crew was actually somewhat serviceable, we may be talking about Tyler Reddick taking the victory over Kyle Larson. but it feels like 23-11 at this point. Each week shoots themselves in the foot and just turns both of their cars, and they're both competitive, Bubba Wallace and Reddick, and they just don't get put in position to win or have a shot at winning on a week in and week out basis. But to me, I thought the racing was okay. I mean, certainly this kind of sets the stage for mile and a half going forward. Certainly was an okay mile and a half race. I'm very excited to see when the next time we go to a mile, I think it's Kansas, if I believe so. So that should be a great race. We should already be circling it on our calendar and saying this is going to be one of the races to watch in 2024. Again, like it was a Larson dominating effort. We have three different winners in 2024. I think that's the cool story, I guess. All of them have been bow ties. So Chevy obviously gotten off to a very strong start. I think it's going to be warranted for them because next year they're going to have to go to a new body because the Camaro is no longer going to be the NASCAR Cup Series car. And obviously Toyota and Ford are struggling with their prospective bodies for 2024. So we may see Chevy dominate for the early part of this season, I do think, Adam. But in 2025, when Chevy gets that new body, if they go to Cadillac or whatever they decide to go to in the GM family, we may see Chevrolet have a rough couple months at the beginning of 2025.
I agree. There's plenty of uncertainty. That seems to be the theme of the day so far here on Racing Fresh Happy Hour. There's plenty of uncertainty for the future of Chevy in the sport. Obviously, they will be here, folks. I don't want to overstate it. They will be here loud and proud. But in terms of their success in 25, big question mark. But let's talk about their success in 24 for a few minutes. They are 3-for-3. They're batting 1,000 as far as the bow tie brigade goes. Do you have concerns about where Ford and Toyota are? Do you expect them to get off the schneid soon? Perhaps I don't want you to give away your pick for Racing Your Fresh Picks, but you know, do you have any concern or trepidation about where both Ford and Toyota are after three races, or is it just Chevy is just off to a good start? Is it much ado about nothing? Let me know.
I think if we're looking at all three manufacturers, I think the one that we have to look for and say we should be worried right now is Ford. Considering pretty much the entire race, it was Chevy who was at the front, and then around third to fifth to eighth, you saw the Toyota camp. You saw pretty much all of Joe Gibbs Racing. You saw pretty much all of 2311 until Bubba Wallace had his issues on pit road. You saw Eric Jones run up inside the top 10 for a little bit, and I was very happy when he was running inside the top 10 because I thought, hey, I could have won Racing Refresh Picks because I did take that Jones boy last week. But I think Toyota is quickly going to figure out. I think the Ford, the dark horse body, introduces way more drag than probably what we see with the Toyota Camry and the Chevy Camaro when it comes to the next-gen body. I was very concerned, I think as we all were, to see the giant front fender wells on the dark horse and how that would affect the aerodynamic capability of the Fords this year. I mean, we're going to a short track this weekend, a pseudo short track at Phoenix, where I don't think aerodynamics is going to play that big of a factor. But, you know, if you look pretty much after that, we're going to mile and a halfs, we're going to road courses. That won't be a problem there. But, I mean, really through the stretch after Easter, it's going to be mile and a half, high-speed Dover, which aerodynamics is going to play a factor there, more mile and a halfs. I think the Fords, I really just don't know what they're going to find in the next couple of months to figure out that this is going to be a problem. I think this is one of those situations where you see an F1 where you design a car over the off season, you come to Bahrain, and then you have all these high expectations going into the season. Let's a la Haas. They said they were, or a couple of years ago, they said they were going to improve their position, and they go to Bahrain and they finish last on the grid. So this could be one of those situations where they're probably just going to have to wait till next year to fix this problem. But can the Fords win this year? Absolutely. It's not out of the question. But I think they are going to struggle this year mightily compared to Toyota and Chevy.
Well, I think Freddie's got a good point. He said even though Chevy's got the most wins out of the last couple of years, Fords have won the last two Cup championships. That's right. Penske's won the last two in a row. Enjoy Logano and that Jan Ryan Blaney. Just taking a look at the schedule coming up, Colin, it is, of course, Phoenix this weekend, and then it's Bristol, and then we go to Coda, and then we got Richmond, and then we got Martinsville, then we got Dega. We got Martinsville, then we got Texas. We don't hit a mile and a half again until Texas on April 14th. For what that is worth.
Hell, we might not do a show after that race. That's gonna be the most boring race of the year.
Oh, I mean, I'm gonna be firing out my Beyonce, and you know, we're gonna get it happen. You know, it's gonna be big time. So I don't know. I personally think we're still too soon to say if there's anything to be concerned about with either Ford or Toyota. And I'm not calling you wrong at all. I'm just saying that Dega and Atlanta. Wild cards, right? Vegas is the first traditional track on the schedule. Phoenix, we have the weird short track package that leaves a lot to be desired, and then we'll do it again at Bristol, Coda. Let's see where things. I think it's still a little too soon to be, you know, writing obituaries for the season, if you will. That's just my personal take. I do. I think it's a little too soon to say, well, this is trouble, this is not. It's been a – look, and I'm not taking away anything from the Bowtie Brigade. Look, Chevy getting it done, no doubt about that. Getting it done at Daytona, Atlanta, and now Vegas, props to you. But let's also not pretend that those first two aren't complete wild cards. And we'll see what Phoenix brings this weekend. Obviously, we will dive into that more in depth in just a few minutes. We keep also having issues with lug nuts. Bubba Wallace had another, the 43 had that issue like 2 years ago where all of a sudden a lug nut gets stuck and they just can't get it off. And you're much more well-versed in other racing series besides NASCAR. Isn't the single lug a pretty common thing now? Like, I mean, am I wrong about that? Why don't other racing series have these kind of issues with the single lug?
Well, yeah. I mean, every major motorsports has the single lug, all the way from the FIA World Endurance Championship that kicked off last week. Great race, by the way. If you saw it, it was fun. F1, IndyCar, IMSA uses the single lug in their series as well. I think the issue, what we see with NASCAR teams, I think A, it has to do with speed. When you IndyCar is the exception because they have quicker pit stops, and F1 I think is the exception too. But those two series have individual tire changers for each corner of the car. And you have just one job. You basically don't have to do anything about taking the tire off, putting it on, unlike in NASCAR where a tire changer has to take the tire off and then has to hit the center lug, and the tire carrier actually threads the tire onto the actual wheel assembly. I think there's two issues, and I saw Bozzi, I think his last name is Tavarek. He's on Twitter. Great follow if you ever want to know the technical side of racing. He can break it all down for you. He's a former pit guy. But he said there's two main issues that what we see is either A, you over torque the end nut onto the wheel assembly, and then you just can't get it off. It's happened in F1 before. It happened to, I think, Lando Norris a couple years ago, where they just over torqued the tire and they just couldn't get it off. His day was over. And we've seen this happen in the NASCAR Cup Series as well. I think Eric Jones was the last person who had an over torqued nut on his wheel assembly, and he just couldn't get it off.
Yeah, or two years ago, the 43 had a pit stop, and they just could not. They could not get it off. It was, yeah, I'd been 20 laps down by the time they got it.
Yeah, so it's probably something about over torquing the nut, or it's you're just trying to go as fast as possible, and you're just not hitting the threads enough, and that becomes a loose tire, and then the tire comes off. Which is interesting because IndyCar implemented new end caps for these wheel assemblies, so. Like Kyle Kirkwood at the Indy 500 last year, we won't see a whole wheel assembly just fly off the car and into the grandstands. If you remember that almost happened last year. Certainly, I mean, there's things that NASCAR can do. They own the IMSA series. They IMSA's done this for years, over 15 years with the single lug nut. So this isn't a new thing for in the NASCAR world. They probably know how to fix this issue. I think it's teams are, and I think that's the, this is going to be an issue that we're going to see for a long time, unless something mechanically is fixed with the wheel assembly, with the whole thing. If they, the best thing I think, and I know people, this is controversial, probably having a minimum pit road stop time. Minimum, you can't go below 15 seconds. That would be a perfect world. Or trying to slow down the pit speed time. Because, A, that's a safety issue. You don't want tires coming off on these NASCAR Cup cars. And, B, it would lead to these mistakes not happening as frequently as we see them. But I just don't know how you get there. I don't know how you'd slow down a pit stop.
That's hot takes for sure in 2024 in NASCAR land. Interesting. Let us know in the comments what you think so far of the single lug kind of NASCAR experiment with this new car. All right. With that, we got to keep moving along because there's plenty of news to still discuss. So with that, why don't we hit some happy hour headlines? All right. The biggest story coming out of last week, unfortunately, it broke Thursday, the day after we were on the air. Dell Jr. is not coming back to the NBC booth. He's going to move to Amazon for 2025. So Dell Jr. going to take this year off as far as his broadcasting and calling races go. Of course, he still will be heavily involved thanks to his podcast and Dirty Mo Media and all that. And, of course, he owns Junior Motorsports, so it's not like he's going anyplace. But big news, Dell Jr. not coming back to NBC. When he retired, I mean, they moved mountains to get him to their booth and to their company, NBC Universal. He did Rolex 24 coverage. I believe he did Olympics coverage. I mean, they were making him one of the faces of the network, and now he is no longer going to be a part of that network going forward. I think it's a huge loss for the NBC booth, and I'm not knocking Burton or Allen or any of those guys or Steve Letard. I think they do a fine job as a booth the last few years, thanks in large part to Dell Jr. But as a booth, I think they've been the better booth the last 2 to 3+ seasons, especially while Fox has been rotating in and out. What were your thoughts on Dell Jr. not coming back to NBC, and just how big of a blow is it to NBC? Because again, they moved heaven and earth, the old saying, hail and high water, and made him a serious face of that network, and now he's gone.
I was surprised, and then I wasn't after I thought about it. You know, I think for Amazon and Warner Brothers, I think they needed someone to, you know, be their cornerstone of their coverage, and getting Dale Jr. as the sign on first for them, huge. I think that's the step in the right direction for Amazon, Warner Brothers, and he gets probably more time bookending the season. I mean, he's a family guy. He just bought an RV and he can take Amy and all the kids and they can have a great time. You know, I think for Dale Jr., I think family is ranks higher than anything right now. I mean, he certainly has the podcast, and I think that's for him going this year. He'll be a good ambassador for the sport, whether he's in the NBC booth or not. Certainly, it's an NBC drop the ball, I think, pretty heavily. But if you look at the grand scheme of things, this overarching picture of how NBC is controlling things, I hate to say it, but I feel like, yeah, they did re-sign with NASCAR for the next 10 years or so with this new TV deal, but I mean, you look at the next 2025 schedule, there's only 3 races on NBC, and then everything else has been moved to USA Network. So obviously NASCAR isn't getting the TV time that I think they deserve, especially in the final 14 races of the season. You think most, if not all, playoff races would be on mainstream TV. That's sort of like how people – that's – if you made this championship format to get views, you'd want every one of your races to be on NBC, not just the cutoff races. It just doesn't make sense to me. But I mean, it's a deeper conversation with NBC because they're potentially moving out of IndyCar. We don't know. Their TV deal ends at this end of this year. We have no idea where the IndyCar series goes in 2025. It could go to Fox. It could stay on NBC. It could go to Amazon. We have no idea. So NBC has, there's a lot of inner workings that are still trying to be figured out on their motorsport side that we just don't know. But I feel like NBC as a whole, you don't have to go very far to find it. I just don't think they want to be in the NASCAR space anymore. I think they tried it. The ratings, I think the ratings, they weren't bringing in what they thought they would get. And I think as soon as this TV deal is over, I don't think NBC is going to be a partner in NASCAR anymore.
Oh, I think you make some valid points. Let's get to a comment from Freddie. He said the single lug nut is a sign of the future with NASCAR. It is something different, but he hopes NASCAR keeps up with the new things at work. Absolutely, Freddie. This sport is evolving, and we can either try to embrace that to a certain extent. I mean, that doesn't mean don't be critical when we don't like something or don't be honest, but we have to accept that this sport is in an evolution period. And it's making a lot of changes, and that's only going to continue for the very foreseeable future. You know, that's just the way it is. Again, I think we're going even further down the line. I think we're not far from seeing hybrid engines. We might see a day in the not too terribly distant future where hopefully we're all still doing this podcast where, I mean, we might be talking about electric cars. And I mean, for the big boys, it's possible. I don't know that it will happen. But it's possible. And yeah. I know that makes some people's heads just, oh my God, what? But it's possible.
I mean, I certainly see I don't see the full electric going as far as possible, as far to full electric. But what I do see is I think NASCAR is going to do what IndyCar is going to do after the 500, and they're going to bring in the hybrid unit. And then, but I mean, I don't understand why people would hate the these cars have more engine power. That electrical motor is going to put more power to the drivers, and the racing should be better. We could get pushed to pass on NASCAR road course races. Ain't that awesome? I'm sorry. We've seen how road course races have been snoozers the past couple of years. We talked about this last year, especially Sonoma. Do you remember last year's Sonoma race? It was pretty bad, not gonna lie. But if you had something, a driver tool that could just increase horsepower for 30 seconds, that's all you need, 30 seconds. Wouldn't you want to see if it could work? And it's not a gimmick because other racing series use it too. I mean, it's the future.
Yeah,
don't be afraid of the future.
It's gonna be interesting, Matt. We just might. We never know. He wouldn't be the first person I've had to kick out of a StreamYard on this show. It's had to happen. Sometimes people. It's that Florida thing. Well, I was in Florida when I had to kick out the founder, and now I got to kick. And now we got to think about Colin. No, it's gonna be very interesting. Look, I know everyone's got strong opinions on should electric and all that happen. I get that. I understand it's kind of a divisive issue right now. Look, people have a hard time adapting to change. And for NASCAR's fan base, we have to acknowledge the fact and we have to accept the fact that the grand majority of their fan base is much older. I think the average age of NASCAR fans is about 56, 58, something like that. And so, yeah, change is hard to adapt to because I think a lot of the logic of the older generation is what's gotten them this far, what's wrong with it? And I can understand that argument. Again, there's probably a middle ground to all these things. It's going to be interesting to see what the sport looks like coming and going. Now back to Dale Jr. because he deserves our full analysis. I don't know about. I said you made some good points in terms of. I think they probably have been a little disappointed with the numbers on the NBC. However, here's where I think you, as we currently stand, it's impossible to know what the cable and television business is going to look like in 10 years. I don't even think we'll have cable in 10 years. But again, I don't know. I'm not Nostradamus. I'm not going to make any predictions. I think for NBC, they might be a little disappointed with the numbers on NBC. However, NASCAR still brings in pretty darn good numbers for USA Network. The top-rated show of USA Network is Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw doesn't regularly crack 2 million viewers anymore. I think they just got 1.67 something this week. I can't remember the exact number. I look them up every week religiously for every wrestling show, but that's another podcast for another time. But for USA Network, those numbers are glorious in this era. Those numbers are glorious. Raw's numbers are glorious, and NASCAR numbers will be glorious. And so maybe you're right. Maybe NASCAR, unfortunately, to NBC is not a hot commodity for the big channels, which stinks, because that's a disservice to the sport. Because you're right. Think about a playoff game being on Paramount Network, and I'm not talking about streaming. I'm talking about the regular Paramount Network. Think about a playoff NFL game. You would never. They could technically do it if a pinch happened, but the only way that would ever happen is some sort of pinch of weather and issue. It would take a catastrophic amount of circumstances to even have the conversation.
I mean, NFL did put Texans and Browns on Peacock this last year for the playoffs, the wild card game.
I think that's a different conversation. I think that's trying to prop up the element of streaming. I'm talking about putting it on the sense of your true cable channels these days, where only NASCAR is the only major sport having to kind of go through that. That's false. MLB does have some playoff games put on the MLB Network. Now that I'm coming to kind of really pick my brain.
The MLB Network is, I mean, you have to pay more for it because it's an actual service, but it's
premium.
You get it on TV. You can just call your TV provider if you still have one of those. Or like for me, I have YouTube TV, and you can just buy that channel for the season, and then you can remove it from your bill. I mean, putting them all on Peacock, I mean, I think if I remember correctly, if you look at the TV deal for next year, because this is a big conversation, the Dale Jr. is, I mean, you can talk about the TV because this is about how NASCAR does on TV. Catch Lagani to the Turnbuckle every Thursday, 5 to 8 p.m. for all your wrestling desires.
Absolutely.
It's pretty hot season. Got to be honest with you. It's the road to WrestleMania. And it's crazy. But going back to NASCAR, the Warner Brothers Discovery is one of those TV partners for next year. And if I remember correctly, I don't know where I saw it, but they were talking about potential landing spots in the Discovery area. And they were like True TV for 6 races. I mean, that sucks. That actually is awful. If that's true, if that's real, True TV gets 6 races in the middle of the summer. That's awful. That's awful for NASCAR.
Let's get to this comment. Matt says there's definitely a two-headed dragon to this. One, hyperpower plants would put NASCAR back up to par to other top premier racing series in the world. But two, NASCAR is the only top stock car racing series. So how much change could actually be negative? Again, I do not want to be one of the higher-ups of NASCAR making these decisions, because NASCAR and perhaps baseball may be the only people that have to go, we have to acknowledge and accept that our fan base is significantly older on average, and we don't want to alienate them because they are a vital part of what brings in money to this sport. I mean, think about it. Look, we're not putting all those advertisements and T-shirts just because they look good, folks. We're doing that because we want to sell product. It doesn't matter if that's a T-shirt or you want to go to Family Dollar Tree, or you want to go to, or you want to buy your Pennzoil, whatever it may be. The idea is to sell the product. So the more you alienate a portion of your fan base, I mean, say what you will, but that's less product that you might be selling. NHL Network does have NHL games all the time, but also has regional blackouts. Don't get me started on the regional blackout thing. Good Lord. I don't know why baseball's still doing that. It is. It's such an interesting paradox, and frankly, we could do a whole hour on just this topic, right? We could do a whole hour easy. I could do 2 hours on this topic, but I'm disappointed that Dale Jr. is going to be doing 5 races. He's just become so good at it that I want to see him do a bigger portion of the schedule. That's going to be fun 5. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be 5 weeks of fun with Dale. I get it. I like it. It's like going to your kooky uncle house for the summer. But but it's I just wish he was doing more. I wish NBC could have got a deal worked out, at least until we see what happens. As far as your True TV argument, the only thing that I would be okay with True TV, and I think they should use this for, is I think for people like me that want to see practice, put it on there. Put it on there, and if you want to watch it, there it is. And frankly, it'll bring in decent numbers to True TV, because what the hell's – and I mean decent numbers for True TV, because what the hell's on True TV? And Practical Jokers is like it.
Yeah, it's all crime TV shows too.
It's Impractical Jokers, crime TV, and then they will get like 1 to 2 March Madness games here in a couple weeks. Like that's so. I mean, if you want to put practice on that, that'll draw big numbers compared to what everything else does on True TV. And I'm an advocate for practice, just as I'm an advocate for the Vortex Theory. So let us know in the comments how you feel about Dell Jr. not coming back to Amazon, or not coming back to NBC and going to Amazon, pardon me. There was a Reddit post out there saying he was upset with NBC's direction. Dell Jr. went out of his way on Twitter to debunk that. I live my life in a philosophy of works and shoots, folks. So sometimes I wonder, are you just saying what you feel like you have to? Sometimes I wonder if you're saying what I'm not calling Dell Jr. a liar, but in the words of Drake and Josh, I'm not necessarily calling him a truther.
Yeah.
Things are interesting in terms of are you saying what you feel, or are you saying what you think is necessary? Freddie says he thinks it'd be cool to see Dell Jr. run the 5 Xfinity races. I don't think he ever runs 5. He'll do 2. I don't think he ever moves to a 5 race schedule unless he just, I think, would have to get, the only way I could see him doing that is if he gives up broadcasting entirely, then maybe to fill some time. But he just doesn't seem to have a big itch for anything more than a 1 or 2 race a year. He does have a big itch for that. He's, you know, at this point he's kind of proven that, but I just don't. And plus it's, every time you get him out there, there's a risk to it because of his concussion history. Because even the right hit on these short tracks could be precarious for him, for anyone, but someone like him with his concussion history. And as we all know, once you get one concussion, you are susceptible to more. So I don't know if we ever see him go beyond a 2-race schedule. I'd love to see it because guess what? That would be great for the Xfinity Series. That'd be great. The eyes he brings, and Junior Nation still alive and well. Yeah, let's talk about that. Matt Moore is curious about who they may replace Dale with on NBC. You know,
I don't think they'll replace him.
I was going to say, I don't think this year there is a replacement. I think they just kind of ride with what they got. My assumption, and I'm not privy to any of these conversations, so I want to be clear to both Matt, Freddie, and anybody else that ever hears this. My assumption is that they probably thought they were going to get a deal done, and now they'll kind of, all right, we'll ride out this year and see what happens, and maybe try to bring in a heavy hitter for next season. Now, who could that heavy hitter be? You know, I don't know. Because technically, NBC employs so many people to do that could do, I'm not saying do as well, but do it, Dale's job. I mean, they still have Kyle Petty and Dale Jarrett on the payroll, and they appeared at all the races that the NBC does. They've both been in the booth a lot over the years, especially the TNT years. They could easily slide one of those in if they get 5 races into their schedule and go, this ain't quite clicking, we need an extra voice. You could easily slide one of those two in, and they would do an okay job. I think both fit better in their kind of overall analyzing of the race role they both have now at this stage of their respective careers. But both of them could easily be slid into the booth for this season if they so desire it. I think they will try to eventually get a heavy hitter. If for no other reason, you got to keep up the Joneses, right? Look at what Kevin Harvick's doing with Fox. They're trying to make Kevin Harvick is trying to be Fox's Dale Jr. That's what that is. He's got a podcast. They're heavily promoting it. You know, he's every which way but loose. We got a documentary, and I'm not knocking Kevin Harvick, but he doesn't quite have the brand recognition of one Dale Jr. But because Dale Jr. is now going to Amazon, I do think we see a time where maybe NBC goes, all right, checkmate Jenny Yahtzee, my friend. Now, who is that? I could not begin to tell you. couldn't begin to tell you because nobody jumps out at me. I mean, maybe Kyle Busch as far as big names that are going to retire sometime soon. And that's a big if. There's nothing to say he's going to retire sometime soon. Kind of ran out of big names that are going to quit.
My lighting system is updating. Okay.
That's fantastic. Cool.
We're good.
We've kind of ran out of big names that are going to call it a day, at least for the foreseeable future. I mean, and then plus, we have the charisma to be in the booth. I mean, we've, you know, that's not an easy job. That's not an easy job.
The only person I think NASCAR-wise who's retired and can make that jump up to broadcasting is McMurray. Jamie McMurray did a phenomenal job. And I think, honestly, I would love to see him in the booth more than Clint Bowyer. I would love to see Mike Joy, Harvick, McMurray. And then I would like Larry Mack to actually join the booth full-time again.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Because Mike Joy with Larry Mack, America's crew chief, he's still America's crew chief, was just a better experience overall than just cutting to Larry Mack in the war room, as what you, I think he calls it or something like that. But I think, you know, if Dale Jr., I think he's not just the Amazon guy. I think he gets a deal done with Warner Brothers too. So he does a 12 race stint, I think, through the middle of summer. I think for NASCAR fans, when we think about the middle of the summer, especially when it comes to TV, those races at times just drag. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about Pocono. We're talking about Michigan. We're talking about Indianapolis. I mean, historically, like, those are the dog days of summer, and those races just drag, and they just feel like they go on forever. And the perfect booth would be Alan Bestwick, Dale Jr., a crew chief of some sort. We don't know who, but that would be the perfect booth. And then it would be a fun booth. And those summer races, I guess, I mean, Dale Jr. can make it just feel like, you know, it's something a little bit more.
Yeah, like I said, we'll be going to hang out with the crazy kooky uncle, and we're looking forward to it. Freddie does say the Martin Truex Jr. are your two guys who might retire soon. If anything, Kyle stops racing Cup one day and goes back to the trucks and win the championship to be the only one to win all three touring championships, like a triple crown champion in NASCAR. I can very well see that. I don't see Martin MTJ going to the booth. I just don't think he's got the personality for it. I think when MTJ leaves the sport, he's leaving the sport. He's going to go hunt. He's going to go fish.
He's going to live on some ranch somewhere. Yeah. We'll never see him again.
We might see him come on back for a couple of greatest driver celebrations. But overall, I think he pulls a Carl Edwards and just kind of disappears for us.
Yeah, we'll see him at NASCAR 100.
Yeah, I think we'll, you know, for the right occasion, I think we'll see him. But I think whenever he calls it a day, whether that's this year, next year, 5 years from now, whenever it may be, whenever he's done, because he's kind of Brett Favre at this point, or fill in your favorite wrestler here, but once he's finally done, I don't think we see him in any capacity that requires much of his time. That's just my take. We'll see. Couple other things to get to. Buescher lost two crew members for 2 weeks for his penalty. Ryan Vargas, he's going to go racing full-time in Europe. We like Ryan Vargas. He's a good friend of the show. We've had him on several times. We're wishing him the best. Ratings were up again. Vegas is up. Was up 9% from last year. Great to see that. We want to see people watching. Unfortunately, Kyle Larson said, hey, take a nap. Nothing like a. It's what I love about Sunday, as Craig Morgan once said. We can just take a nap. I'm so glad to see ratings up. Hopefully, they continue to do so. That's a hard task in today's dying age of cable, folks. That's a hard task. That's a hard task. Plus, let's make no mistake about it. We love this sport. It's the one of the greatest sports, if not the greatest sport in the world. But it's a grind. It's a week in, week out grind. There's some races that leave a little to be desired. Yeah. All right. We got to keep moving it along. So let's hit our weekend preview.
Yeah, babe. Ah, the neon.
Yeah, that's, it looks like, It looks like Lightning McQueen's trailer if it got just infused with neon. I love it so much.
Yeah.
The Trucks have the weekend off. The Xfinity and Cup get the championship-ish preview. Look, I said it close to the top of the show. This is a big weekend for everybody in NASCAR. If you have any aspiration, and if you don't have any aspiration at this point of maybe being in that Final Four, again, unless you're severely underfunded, you should quit the sport, to be quite frank. If you're not at least thinking, well, it's possible, unlikely maybe, but if you don't see some sort of narrow path, I just don't know what you're doing out there. So it's a vital weekend. Again, it's another test of that frustrating short track package. So we'll see how that goes. What are your expectations for the racing this weekend and the short track package, Kyle?
Well, we're going to be seeing a new short track package, and I think that's going to be one of the most interesting things we're going to be seeing this weekend. Certainly, I mean, I didn't hate last fall's race. I thought last fall's race was sort of exciting. I mean, it was sort of I will never forget Ryan Blaney, William Byron Spotter saying Ryan Blaney is currently imploding as the race leads on. And then, you know, Kyle Larson and Ryan Blaney get into it. Ross Chastain wins the last race of the season. I think that was a fine race. I think we're going to see another fine race this weekend. Certainly, I think Xfinity Series is going to steal. I think it's going to steal the show because obviously I think they're harder to drive, which makes a little bit better racing. But I'm very hopeful for this race. Usually we spring Phoenix races. I mean, everyone talks about it. They're stinkers. These are not fun races. So with this new short track package that we're seeing, we're hopeful. We're hopeful for something different. And I'm in that camp where I'm optimistic. So I think that's what I'm going to be optimistic for. I think that's the only thing you can do. I think that's the only thing you can be.
We got this weekend. All the haters. Freddie trying to upset our producer Peggy. He says, I think it's funny when he gave Ross the your number one. Look, Ross is out here rossing. That's all we know. That's all we know.
I think Ross Chastain's going to get back on the Don't Give a Blank tour. I think it's coming.
Yeah, Don't Give a Blank Part 2 tour. Like it. Blanks are overrated tour. I like it. So, all right. And guess what? Big weekend for you, Mr.
Yeah, baby.
Car.
Yeah.
Going to the streets of St. Pete. Let us know about it.
So the IndyCar Series kicks off. It's round one. We have 18 weeks over the span of 4 months, 5 months to decide who will be raising the Astor Cup at Nashville Super Speedway in the middle of September. It's going to be a fun season. A lot of new faces and a lot of new places this upcoming year. So this Friday will be the IndyCar preview that you'll be getting in the morning. And then Friday night, you'll be getting the IndyCar weekend preview for St. Pete. So look on the tune for racingrefresh.com to see that. There's a lot of things going on this IndyCar season. And we only have like 7 minutes, but I can't tell you everything. I mean, we're getting a new engine this year. We're getting a new aero screen this year. We're possibly losing Honda as a manufacturer. I gave you two good things of news and then a bad thing of news. But certainly there's a lot to be excited for. We get more oval races than we've ever had in the past 4 years of the NTT IndyCar Series, which I think is a big win for the series as well. But I'm going to take somebody probably out of left field to win this race. He's certainly been close before, but he hasn't done it yet. I'm going to take Pato O'Ward. He's going to take the victory in St. Pete to get the Papaya Arrow McLaren SP to victory lane for round one.
Ah, Arrow McLaren. You might be previewing a T-shirt next week. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. And NHRA has their opening weekend in Gainesville, Florida. We know a certain founder will be down there with John Force Racing. We'll keep an eye on that. F1 is in Saudi Arabia, the kingdom. And look, let's be honest, that's where Mad Max is probably going to get his next victory. Any thoughts on that before we move to Racing Refresh picks? There's not much you can say, but try.
I think in the notes, I put the Max Verstappen, Max, Super Max, Max, Super. Yeah. So, yeah, until otherwise noted, we're not really going to be talking about Formula One on Racing Refresh Happy Hour until something different happens. Obviously, I think the only news story coming out of the Jeddah Grand Prix is that this is the third, this is the fourth race in Formula One history that's on a Saturday. And the only reason it's on a Saturday is because Sunday starts a Muslim holiday. I can't remember the name of it, but because of holiday traditions and holiday rules, they moved it to a Saturday. So now that's why we have the Jeddah GP. But it is the fastest street course in the world. And if Max Verstappen is going to dominate, if you have to watch this race for any reason, if you have to wake up early Saturday morning to watch it, I mean, you're averaging 180 miles an hour on a street course. I think that's probably the most interesting thing of the weekend. But yeah, Max Verstappen's probably going to win this race by 20 seconds. And you'll be seeing hashtag boring trending on Twitter or X as you wake up on Saturday. So I will watch it, but I only watch it because I have a vested interest in keeping you, the viewer, informed. And I'm willing to punish myself in order to do it.
That's right. Humanitarian Colin Best, ladies and gentlemen. Humanitarian. Matt Maher points out the Cars Tour Super Late models are at Southern National this weekend.
Yeah, baby.
So racing abound. Racing.
And we're back. Dude, we're so back.
Racing abound. We like it. We like it. We want more. How much do we need? The answer is more. All right. Speaking of more, let's bring in our lovely producer who is much better looking than either one of us. And let's play a little game we call Racing Refresh Picks. Oh, yeah, look at that. Look at that. Look at that.
Hey, Peggy.
All right.
Why do you have gumball machines in your room?
Aesthetic.
Okay.
Nice. Peggy, yeah. do you want to update us on the scoreboard?
Do you have to use a quarter? Do you have to use a quarter to use them?
You can use a quarter, but I just take the key and take them out of the top. But they're stale, so I don't eat them.
You could use it as a really cool piggy bank, Peggy.
Someday, $100 bills, y'all.
Just saying. Be really cool.
This is the score.
So Colin up 9. I'm bringing up the rear so far at 6. Adam's got 7, and producer Peggy, you giving Colin the best run for the money. Matt Maher says the piggy Peggy bank. We might have just came up with a new thing right here on Racing Your Rush Happy Hour. All right, so give us the picking order for the week, producer Peggy.
Logan will go first, and then Adam. And then Colin, and then me, because I won.
Ah, humble. We like that.
Humble.
All right, I will. I'll start us off here. We are at Phoenix, folks. We're at Phoenix. All right. So I'll get us started here. I'm gonna have to go with him. I think he's gonna do some big things this week. I don't necessarily know that he's going to win, but I think he's going to do good enough to get me back in decent standing. I'm going to go with Chase Elliott.
It's not a bad pick.
You know, he's won there before, and, you know, he's had some success there. So I'm going to go Chase Elliott.
It's not a bad pick at all.
Adam is not here, but he said that he would pick Ross Chastain.
All right, so he's going to smash some watermelon if he gets it done up here in Canada.
Colin, you are next.
See, I've been dreading this pick pretty much all day because I want to win again because I'm actually leading the standings in the history of the show. I've never led the standings before, so I want to keep it up.
It's an addictive feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good feeling to win or be winning. I took Eric Jones last week, and that's almost paid off. He got me a top 15 finish, which wasn't that bad. Phoenix, you know, I'm going to ride him. If he finished inside the top 10 last week at Las Vegas, he's a West Coast boy. Give me Noah Gregson in the 10.
I was going to pick Noah Gregson.
Yeah. Look at that.
Noah Gregson in the 10. I've already had my Noah pick for the year, and it didn't pan out for yours truly. So,
Parker's early, and he's probably the best of them. He's driving that thing. He's driving the heart out of that 10 car.
There's nothing wrong with the effort he's going to put in. I can promise you that. Say what you want about him or where SHR is right now, but there's nothing wrong with the effort. Peggy, do you got a backup pick?
I will take Joey Logano.
Joey Logano. Of course, he's won here before. Our boy Freddie says Ryan Preece is a prize winner. Boy, that would be a big time upset if that comes to pass. If that comes to pass, we'll meet you right back here, same bat time, same bat channel next week, and we'll see Freddie if that worked out. And speaking of having to meet the next episode, we got to end this episode. We make our picks, so that means it's time to close in the chat. All right, Peggy, we're heading to Phoenix. By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising, as Glenn Campbell once said. Any final words before we head to the desert, you know, on a horse with no name?
Well, last time we were at Phoenix, Brian Blaney did not win, but he did win. So let's hope he wins again.
So would that mean that he's in victory lane or not? Because he didn't actually.
He won a championship.
Right. But he didn't win the race. For what that's worth.
It was close enough.
Yeah.
I'd rather win a championship than a race.
I agree with you. I agree with you. All right, Colin. Colin, you got anything else?
As Horace Greeley says, we are going west, young men. All of us. Where this is the last West Coast swing, and then we have Bristol on the horizon. But I don't give a blank about NASCAR this weekend because IndyCar is back, all right? The greatest racing series on Earth by far. It's not NASCAR. It's not F1. It's not NHRA. It's not SRX, RIP. It's F1. It's IndyCar. IndyCar is back. I am so excited for you to read the IndyCar preview, the IndyCar St. Pete preview. We're getting back into IndyCar, baby. Hopefully the series doesn't die within the next couple of years because then I don't know what I'm going to do. But if Roger Penske has his way, it will. He'll die. Just for some time later in the year, we'll talk about it. But hope you enjoyed this full slate of racing we have. It's glad to be back in the full swing of racing season. And yeah, just keep on rocking in the free world.
Song references abound here. I like it. I like it. We'll see if we can't keep them going here in the next week or two before Colin heads on his honeymoon.
I'll be going to Tokyo. You know what the worst part is? I just realized this. I had the opportunity to watch the Japanese Grand Prix, but if I just extended my honeymoon a couple of days, I could have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that Saturday is the Japanese Grand Prix in Suzuka.
Nice.
Hey, I might see Yuki Tsunoda in his homeland. So
you know. see if you can talk the wife into it.
He tried to kill Daniel Ricciardo last week. Does anyone remember this? He tried to kill Daniel Ricciardo last week on the cooldown lap.
Kill is probably a strong term, but nonetheless, you don't have to leave the internet, but you can't stay at this particular link. We want to remind you to just enjoy racing this weekend. We got a full slate other than the Truck Series. They take the week off. They will be back for Bristol, baby. Don't worry about that. Xfinity Cup action, IndyCar, F1, if you're into that sort of thing. NHRA is back as well. I want to again say that. And so with that, we just want to remind you and thank you for taking the time to watch the show. Freddie, Matt, we greatly appreciate you and anybody else that ever comes across that we genuinely love. Every single one of y'all. Adam Carabine coming on in. Look, we miss you too, buddy. We'll see you right back here next week, won't we? Yes, we will. Mm-hmm. Handsome son of some biscuit-eating bulldog, ain't he? So, with that, that's been Producer Peggy. That's been Colin Best. And with that, we will see you next week. And until then, we'll see you at the next track.